Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and I'm joined now by Dean Weingarten from the beautiful confines of Yuma, Arizona. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Let's talk about the pistol brace rule, because you wrote a pretty good article on it, and I mean, there's a lot of details to this.
Yeah, a lot being said about it.
Tell me about this.
So, what's been going on is that these pistol braces first came out about a decade ago, and they're meant to help stabilize a heavy pistol, particularly for someone who's disabled, may only have one hand, for example. And when they came out, the inventor asked the ATF if they were legal. And the ATF ruled that they were legal, and various different letters have come out saying that this is legal or that's legal over the last decade. But when President Biden got into office, the ATF changed its interpretation, and it's not hard to see why. There's very little difference between a pistol with a brace that can be used as a shoulder stock and a pistol with a shoulder stock.
Right.
And so they were trying to somehow come up with a difference. And it's hard slogging. I mean, I try to put myself in their shoes, and it's just difficult. You know, you're trying to finesse really infinitesimal differences, and a lot of it depends what somebody wants to do. I mean, the whole law, the whole idea that a pistol with a shoulder stock is a short-barreled rifle is probably a misapplication of the law to start with. But under the Biden administration, the ATF came up with a fairly complicated rule with a score sheet, and it was frankly very difficult to decide whether a particular pistol brace combined with a particular pistol met the definitions of a short-barreled rifle or not in the law. It was one of those things that it's kind of a I'll know it if I see it kind of thing.
Right.
Which isn't a very good position to be in the law. Well, they put it out for comment. And they got a lot of comments, something like almost a quarter of a million comments. And the overwhelming majority of them, I think it was 85% or more, maybe 90%, were negative. And they changed the rule to something quite a bit different, which didn't have this scoring system. And in my interpretation, when I read it, I said, well, this is just saying, well, we'll look at it and we'll know it when we see it. Not a good position in the law. So there's been numerous court cases challenging this final rule. And the final rule, by the way, encompasses a number of other things. It also includes, I believe, a new definition for what is a receiver, or a frame for a firearm. I don't think it had, I think the bump stock is in a different rule. But anyway, and in the Fifth Circuit, the judges at the appellate level have said it doesn't hold up. And they did not say that the rule was unconstitutional. They said you can't have an administrative agency just make law. And besides, they didn't follow the rules because while they put out the rule for comment, then they massively changed the rule and they didn't put out the new rule for comment. And so they didn't follow the proper procedure, so they don't have the authority to make this rule, which anyway is law, and they shouldn't be making new law. And so the three-judge panel on the court said it's not lawful, and they are not going to allow the law to go into effect. Now, that's been covered extensively by other people. But I found particularly interesting is the three-judge panel. And it was a split rule. Two judges agree that the ATF did not follow proper rule, proper procedure for changing a rule like this. But then one of those two judges, his name is Don R. Willett in the Fifth Circuit, and he said, yeah, I agree with this opinion. That's correct. But I want to mention that almost certainly this rule against adding a shoulder stock to a pistol is unconstitutional on its face. And he said, you can't, the point is that somehow pistols are supposed to be more dangerous because they're concealable. And you might make a case that, when you saw off a rifle's barrel, you make it less accurate. But when you add a stock to a pistol, you're making it more accurate. And it's less concealable. So when you're basically making it better for the use for which it was intended, how can you say that it's not legal under the Constitution? And I agree with him. How can you, by adding an accessory, you make something work better? You can't say that's not constitutional when the thing you started with, the pistol, has been acknowledged by the courts as being protected under the Second Amendment. Plus, as long as there have been pistols, there have been shoulder stocks that have been added to pistols to try to improve their accuracy. And they generally do improve the accuracy somewhat, although today, with these micro red dot sights, the pistol sights no longer are as much of a limitation as they used to be. And so you can get very close to rifle accuracy out of a pistol with a shoulder stock and a red dot sight. So I think Judge Willett was correct in this, and that shoulder stock pistols are protected because they're common. They were in common use before this 1934 law, and they are in common. Short barreled rifles are in common use now, and these pistol braces are in common use, and they're in common use, and they're used for lawful purposes. Therefore, they're protected. Now, there was a dissenting judge, Stephen A. Higginson, and he disagreed with Willett's argument and said, I disagree that pistol braces are safety improvement modifications. And they talked about a case that was brought up before the Supreme Court in 1992, United States versus Thompson/Center Arms. And I'm a little familiar with this case because it was the case where the Supreme Court said the rule of lenity applies in these cases. And because of that, if you have a Thompson Center firearm, because what they did is they sold a kit that had a shoulder stock with long.
Hold on right there. I was listening too hard to you. Hold on right there. We'll be right back. Talking to Dean Weingarten, this is Lock and Load. We'll be right back. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and we're talking to Dean Weingarten. Dean is out here right now, trying to explain something to me to where I can understand it. You were about to tell a story, and I did not. We had to go to break. Yeah.
So that's okay. We were talking about the decision in the Fifth Circuit where they say that this ATF final rule on stabilizing braces for handguns is not legal because the ATF did not go through the proper procedure. And one of the judges, Judge Willett, it was a 2-1 split decision, Judge Willett concurred, but then he said, and it's the prohibition on pistols with shoulder stocks is probably unconstitutional anyway, because shoulder stocks make a pistol less concealable and more accurate, and there's no reason to consider them a particularly dangerous or unusual weapon, and so they're covered by the Second Amendment. Now, there was a judge who disagreed with the Judge Willett, and the judge's name is Stephen Higginson, and he said, no, these are not safety-improving devices because, and then he cited a case, United States versus Thompson Center Arms. And that was a case where the Supreme Court said the rule of lenity applies to NFA rules, National Firearms Act rules. And in that case, Thompson Center Arms had made some kits with long barrels and shoulder stocks along with a pistol. These are single-shot pistols. And shorter pistol, regular pistol grips and shorter barrels. And you could take the long barrel and put it onto the receiver and mount the shoulder stock instead of the pistol grips, and then you'd have a legal rifle. Or you could take off the barrel and the shoulder stock and put on regular pistol grips and a shorter barrel and have a legal pistol. And the ATF said, no, if you're in possession of that short barrel and the shoulder stock, that makes it a short barrel rifle. Therefore, they're illegal, and you're violating the National Firearms Act. This went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, you have to actually put the short barrel together with the shoulder stock to make it illegal. Just possessing the two of them together does not make it illegal. So, in the 1992 decision by Thompson Arms, they said that the federal government had restricted short barrel pistols because presumably they aid in crime. Short barrel rifles, excuse me. But 1992 was before the Heller decision in 2008 or the McDonald decision in 2011 or the Bruin decision just recently in 2022. And all of those would bear on that decision and probably change it. And so I think that Willett has it correct and Higginson has it wrong, and pistols with shoulder stocks are in common use and should not be regulated more heavily than regular pistols. And following this line of reasoning, it should be expected that silencers / suppressors, which are also gun accessories, which improve the action of a firearm and make it less concealable, and they make it safer and more effective, exactly the same as can be said of a shoulder stock on a pistol. So they also should not be under the excessive regulation of the National Firearms Act. Now, the constitutional issue did not come up directly in this decision. Judge Willett just felt that he should explain his thinking, and I expect his explanation will be cited in decisions in the future as excessive regulation of shoulder stock pistols comes under review in the court. And they, you know, his logic is hard to defeat.
Yeah. So here's my question. I mean, doesn't this sort of all boil down to trying to control how you hold a gun?
Yes, it does. And I, as soon as Heller was decided back in 2008, I said, well, if how can you possibly ask for more restrictions on rifles than you do on pistols? Pistols are used in crime like 20 times as common as rifles are. And yet this is exactly the argument they're trying to make with so-called assault weapons. They're saying, well, these rifles are used in particularly bad crimes, you know, a few times a year, so we have to be able to regulate them. But pistols are used more often than rifles in mass killing, and you can't regulate them. I mean, they're caught in a vice, but the left has never been really strong on logic and reason in these cases.
Right.
I mean, they want what they want. They want control. They want to disarm the public. And so they really don't care. If they just want to, if they just find some kind of emotional hook that they can put their argument on, they're very willing to do so. But what they have a difficult thing doing is just saying to people, we don't want you to have guns. So what they do is they try to make this argument, which I don't think is a valid argument, by the way. They just say, guns are bad. More guns are more bad. And that's the essence of many of their arguments. If you have one gun, it's bad. Two guns are twice as bad. 20 guns are 20 times as bad. Guns are bad. But when we look at what happens when you have more guns, it just doesn't hold up. We increased the per capita, the number of guns per person in the United States, basically doubled from, you know, the 90s until the 2010s or so. I mean, it went up significantly. And in the same time, the homicide rate dropped in half. So it's hard to make an argument more guns are more bad when you get twice as many guns and half the murders. But they didn't work to do it. They tried real hard. They said, well, look, we got suicides. We'll add suicides in the mix. More people are committing suicides, and about half the suicides are committed with guns. Therefore, see, guns are bad. More guns, more suicides. Well, it doesn't hold up either, because if you look where more guns come in, you don't necessarily have more suicides. You might have more suicides with guns, but even that doesn't hold up. I mean, and if we look at the international comparisons, we look at Japan and Korea, and they have enormous suicide rates, much higher than the United States. And they have hardly any guns. They don't have guns at all.
Hold on there for me, if you will. So here we are talking about this, and this is the background behind all this stuff, and these are the things that have to get brought out and everything else, and it's always happening. Dean is the best one at it. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
USA News Update. The Biden administration is pushing back on border security as Republicans toured border crossings near Eagle Pass, Texas on Wednesday. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters that Republican lawmakers...
What they're doing is they're not doing their job. They want us to deliver on things that matter to them.
Republicans argue, though, there also needs to be significant policy changes within the administration to slow down the flow of immigrants. There is much anticipation today about the impending release of the Epstein list, 170 unredacted names of people that were connected to the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell sex trafficking ring could be released as soon as today. The list could have some very powerful individuals' names on it, but it's believed several of the identities included will remain anonymous for various reasons. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next for us.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back. And we're looking, you know, talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load, and we've been discussing this whole pistol brace nonsense. And you can take the pistol brace and you can just about superimpose that over anything lately. You can superimpose that over the whole brace thing. You can superimpose it over the bump stock thing. And so here's a few questions for you, if we can. First of all, isn't all of this all just ex post facto? Or would it be considered ex post facto? Because these things were allowed to be sold for X amount of time, however long it's been. Home-built guns has been allowed for how long?
Forever.
And
as
now
long
they,
as there's been guns.
Right. And now they want to come in and say, well, but they're not, that's not anymore. And
right.
So that's question one. Isn't it, how many of these laws actually get enforced that they've got out there right now today? And primarily, and you know, isn't all of this just a really silly waste of time as far as this stuff? Because guns all have ammo and barrels. I thought that's what made them dangerous, not all the other things that are behind it.
Yeah, well, there's been, I have been educated on what the courts consider ex post facto. And I thought that if you got punished for something that was legal in the past and they changed the law, that was an ex post facto law. You know, if they then punished you in the future. But what I've seen in the courts is they say, well, if we just say you can't have something, that's not a punishment. Because it's in the future you decide to have it or not. But, of course, that's kind of silly because they're taking away your right to have that thing. But the ex post facto that I thought was mostly concerned with the Lautenberg Amendment, because that seems so egregiously ex post facto, but the courts were not willing to see it that way. But that was all decided before the Heller decision in 2008, so it might be different now. And I agree, many, many gun laws are just not enforced. And they become one of the things where we look and see, you know, we're looking for somebody we want to get. Well, we know the person we want to get. So we got a whole bunch of laws out there. There must be one of these laws they're violating. And they look like in the old Soviet Union, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. And because we have so many laws out there, just like with Donald Trump, they can find some way to wedge that law into an indictment against the person they're trying to get. So, in my opinion, the courts will probably not call these ex post facto laws, but they will find that they were not allowed under the current administrative procedures, and if they continue to be pressed, they'll probably find that they're not constitutional under the Bruin decision.
Well,
so that's my opinion.
Well, I mean, your opinion means something. You're quite the historian when it comes to some of this stuff. But I mean, this whole thing with the pistol brace thing. I mean,
it's silly. And several decisions have said pretty close to what you're saying.
Yeah,
they said, look. You said these things were legal, and now you're saying they're not, but there hasn't been any change in the law. And they said, since there's no change in the law, you can't just do 180 because you decide to do so. We don't allow it. There's got to be better continuity to the law than that. So that's what they're saying. But they're, and it's similar to the idea of an ex post facto law. But it's not actually considered ex post facto under the Constitution. They're
right.
Saying that a regulatory agency cannot just do 180 degree flips because there's a change in the administration. So that's the difference.
That's the other thing that you bring up, because it sort of seems to me like what we're beginning to see, the new norm now today is when the left is coming in, they're coming after guns, and they just bend the rules left, right, and center. When the Republicans come in, they don't do anything to reel back anything, and they don't do anything to keep it from happening when they're out of power.
We see some pushback in the state level, at the state legislatures, but we don't see as much, we haven't seen hardly any pushback at the federal level. Now, there's been a couple of little attempts. When Trump got elected, there was the Hearing Protection Act, and it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like it was going to go through. And then we had that madman in Las Vegas do a mass killing there.
Right.
And with that as an excuse, Paul Ryan just pulled that bill, which had a lot of good stuff in it for us, and he just didn't allow a vote on it. I mean, I personally have looked at it enough. I don't think that Paul Ryan did it because of a lack of spine. I think Paul Ryan, and he's a Republican, he was Speaker of the House at the time, to remind people. In my opinion, he just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
He was actively looking for an excuse to kill the bill.
Right.
The bill was passed.
I agree with you on that. I agree
with you. There were a number of Democrats that were signed on to it. And there were a lot of common sense things in that bill that would have been very good for us. But Paul Ryan killed it. In my estimation, Paul Ryan was a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, he made some of the right noises, but when it came down to actual effective legislation, he was with the Democrats or with the left or with the deep state, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I mean, one of the tales with Ryan, right? One of the tales with Ryan and with the Senate Republicans as well. His first 2 years of Trump's presidency, they had it all. And they campaigned on repealing Obamacare. And they had voted for it 8 different times under Obama. And, of course, it was never going anywhere because Obama wasn't going to sign it. And they get Trump, who says he'll sign it, and then they never bring it up. And when it finally does get to the Senate, John McCain gets out there because they haven't got anything to replace it with.
And John McCain had issued numerous promises about how he was going to repeal Obamacare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a fun guy, old John.
He was,
rest
you know,
in peace, John. McCain,
you know, some people have said it's because of advanced age or whatever, but looking at his entire career, I'm not convinced he wasn't always basically just a deep state apparatchik.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'm not a John McCain fan.
No, I wasn't either. I just wish he would quit injecting himself in the process now. As it is, he's still doing that today. He wants to get out there and say things, and I think now he's part of the Never Trump Again group or whatever that is.
John is dead, but his wife Cindy is injecting herself. She has a strong political machine in Phoenix, and I think that they are one of the significant reasons why we now have a far, far left governor in Arizona and far, far left attorney general, which is still being disputed, by the way, and far, far left secretary of state.
Right.
Because Cindy McCain is not what I would call a constitutional Republican.
Oh, not at all. Hang on 1 second. We'll discuss this a little deeper if you want to when we get back. This article that I'm referencing, Pistol Brace, Illegal and Likely Unconstitutional, published August the 4th. You can find it at ammoland.com, where Dean has 2,200 plus other articles waiting on you. That number should roll over just about any old day now. So as soon as I know that, I'll let you know. But, I mean, all of these things, poignant as the day they were written. The Bear series is very, very entertaining. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Last time on the firing line, this is Lock and Load, and I am speaking with Dean Weingarten. I'll get that out sooner or later. The latest thing you have put up there, armed security required at all Texas public schools in 2024. The first question I have with this, does that mean the Uvalde School Police Department is disbanded, because they should be?
Well, I don't think it's disbanded, but I believe a number of officers have resigned. I think that the person in charge of the Uvalde School District Police has been fired / resigned. And much of the horrible, bad decisions that were made that day, he was responsible for. And it's hard to say, you know, that it just seemed the case of somebody who wasn't willing to make significant decisions. And in a case like that, where you have to do things quickly and decisively, indecision is deadly. So enough about that. This law, the statute in Texas, I believe, came about because of the Uvalde mass killing. And if we go back to colonial America, there were several different colonies that required colonists to be armed when they traveled or when they came to church or whatever, because they were constantly a threat from hostile natives. And so there were massacres where most of colonies were wiped out. So they learned, and they required people to be armed. Well, I guess we have come to enough school massacres that in Texas they've learned, and now they require at least one armed security officer in all Texas public schools starting next year in 2024. Now, Texas has, I believe, at least, well, basically three different ways in which you can have armed security at a school district. You can have a school district that has their own separate police force, or a school resource officer, or a commissioned peace officer employed as school security. They're all basically the same thing. They all employ a certified police officer as armed security at the school. Then they also have what's called a school marshal program. That requires these school marshals to go through about 80 hours of training. And there are a few schools, I think the number's around maybe 80, that have the school marshal program. And then they have the school guard against program. And this is the least restrictive of the three different types. And the school guardian program is any school employee can be trained, and it takes 15 to 20 hours of training, in the special skills required to stop a mass killing at the school. And then they can go around armed at the school. And this is not just school teachers, could be principals, the administrative staff, could be janitors, groundkeepers, whatever, anybody that the school employs. Now, these are all volunteers, and the school vets them, and then they put them through this training, and it costs in the neighborhood of about $800 to $1,000 a year to keep them trained and available. And they carry their weapons concealed so that no one knows who is armed and protecting students and who is not. And this adds a lot of difficulty to someone who is attempting to kill as many students as they can so that they go down in the record books. And so far, none of the schools using the Guardian system has been hit with a mass killing. And they very often assist this by putting a big sign out in front of all the doors, on the doors of the school or at the entrances to the school, saying, armed staff, trained and ready to defend students, something like that. It varies slightly with school. Now, an armed police officer, like a school resource officer, or if you have the school have its own police system, a school police officer, they run with all the benefits and everything about $100,000 a year. But a school guardian, because they only have one job besides their regular job, and that is to stop mass murder in schools, and they're taught things like triage and stopping bleeding and things like that as well. So it's not just going after the a potential mass murderer. They only cost $800 to $1,000 a year, so you can have 100 of them for every school resource officer. So it's much more efficient. And the idea is to have enough of them so that if somebody, some evil person with evil intent is trying to kill a bunch of students, there very likely will be somebody there to stop them. Because you have to stop them really quickly. Most of the killing in these events happens in just the first couple of minutes. So you have to have somebody that's there basically inside the situation who can hear the shots, run to the sound of the gunfire, you know, and they're trained to differentiate between the shooter and not hit other people. That's part of what their training is. So Governor Abbott and the legislature passed a law saying that you have to have an armed protector, an armed security person, at every school. Well, $100,000 is pretty steep for a lot of school districts, and that only gets one person there. But you could spend $20,000 and have 20 guardians at the school. So I predict that there will be a large increase in the number of Texas independent school districts that participate in the school guardian program. And it's not like the school guardian program is not popular. It is. There's about, the last time I was able to run the numbers was about a year and a half ago. There were about 44%, about 450 schools in Texas had the guardian program out of about roughly 1,050 total. 1,040, 1,050, you know, it's hard to get the exact precise number because they change a little bit over time. So there's probably going to be a big increase in school districts with the Guardian program, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, this may not stop the mass killing, but I think it will reduce the number of mass killings goes on in public schools. You know, they may go to other venues they view as less protected. I'm sure that there are some, you know, maybe, you know, an LGBT concert or a, or some type of event, where guns are banned. Where are venues? There, I think in stadiums, for example, there are, they generally ban guns from being inside. So there are other targets they could target. I'm not trying to suggest or push anybody in those directions. What I'm saying is that they will avoid targets that have armed security where they're likely to be interrupted and they won't be able to reach their goal of killing large number of people. And they will likely go places where the targets are less protected.
And with that, Dean, we run out of time.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Bill.
We'll be doing it again on Friday. We close the week out with Dean every week. Everything willing and everything lining up the right way. Check him out at AmmoLand. He's under all contributors. He'll be on the bottom. He'll be in the middle on the left, Dean Weingarten. Go look at the 2,200-plus articles he's got out there. It is a huge archive. Thank you for joining me today, sir.
Very good.
As for me, I will be back in about 21 hours. And between now and then, if you would be so kind, I wish you would remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, and it's always going to be, about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.